Hebrews chapter 4 tonight, reading verse 12. The Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the hearts." You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us while we preach. We certainly need your touch. Save somebody that might be lost. Encourage the one that needs encouragement. Edify the one that needs edification tonight. We'll certainly give you the glory for it all, for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've studied about or preached on, and that the power of God in our life, we've looked at the power of God in suffering. Looked at that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul talked about the messenger of Satan that come to buffet him. I want you to understand something tonight. Satan is real, and so is his messengers. Amen. And they do come, and they will buffet us. That word buffet means to beat on and to punch at. And he does that. And let me say that Satan is very good at that tonight. He knows how to beat and that on the children of God. But we not only looked at that, where the Apostle Paul said that after he found out that God's grace was sufficient, and that he would rather in that, he would rather glory in his infirmities, he said there at one point that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so we looked at that part, how power comes in suffering. Then we looked at supplication in our prayer life, and that with Christ. And let me say tonight that without praying, without having a prayer life, we cannot have the power of God nowhere in our life. We need in that to learn to pray. We looked at Elijah over there in James chapter 5 and back in 1 Kings chapter 18. But tonight I want to look at the Word of God, or Scripture if you would. We've seen in that about suffering and seen about supplication. But tonight, to have the power of God that works in our life, we must have the Scripture made real to us tonight. I want you to understand something tonight, that without the Scripture, friend, we could not have got saved. Without the Scripture, we enact cannot live for God and live a holy life. Everything I know about salvation, everything I know about separation, everything I know about pleasing the Lord and holy living and loving my neighbor and loving God, I find in this book right here. You say, "Well, I could figure it out without it." You can't, friend. Listen, if it could be figured out without it, men would have already done it. They're devolving, not evolving. And friend, tonight we need the Word of God in our life. I want you to take your Bible real quick and go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 tonight, and I'll get ready and preach and we'll hurry. By the way, let me say this. If you would, just hang around for a little bit after service. I need just a little bit of help in that, getting things ready for vacation Bible school. Ephesians chapter 4, look in verse 32. Ephesians 4 verse 8, excuse me here. Ephesians 4 and verse 8, verse 8. And the Bible says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? And he that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." Now, he's talking about Christ right there. That's who the Apostle Paul is talking about. The one that ascended, first descended into the heart of the earth, and then he ascended. But I want you to look what he said in verse 11. "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, every one of those gifts that he gave right there, whether it was an apostle, or whether it was a prophet, or an evangelist, or pastor, or teacher, each of those men and that had to deal with the Word of God. You understand that tonight? Every one of those dealt with some form or some fashion with the Word of God tonight. So he did not listen. He did not leave me here and that by myself without Scripture to learn about him. Luke chapter 4 and verse 32, as they talked about the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word
was with power. And so tonight, if we hope to have the power of God in our life, it's going to take the Scripture. Let me say that first of all tonight, it's this book that I've got before me that needs to be preached. Amen. Listen, it's not fairy tales. It's not stories that I've got to tell, no matter how great they are, no matter how emotional they can be or heart-grabbing that they are. Friend, all you've had is just an emotional stir and walked out the door back there and never was changed. But I'm telling you, if the Word of God gets in your heart tonight from the preached Word or from reading it or from it being taught to you, friend, it'll make a difference. That'll change you forever. Amen. Listen, the Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, preach the word. He told Timothy, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You know why he said to preach the word? Because that's all we've got tonight, preachers, is this word. Amen. Listen, we're to preach, but we're to be instant in season and out of season. Friend, that's whether we feel like it or don't feel like it. Whether we feel a moving of the Holy Spirit or not feel the moving of the Holy Spirit. If it's time to preach, get up and preach. Amen. I mean, that's how it is. Hey, I'm going to tell you, if you don't think that that's true, you ought to go over there to the nursing home on some Fridays and half of them's asleep. The other half's out of this world and don't know what's going on, and stand up and preach to them and tell me that you really feel in season about that thing. Now, there's been times that I went over there and it's been in season and it's been great. But friend, there's also been times that it's failed out of season over there, but I've still went and done my job and some way, somehow, God got the glory out of it. Why did he say to preach the word? He said, for the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. I believe we're there now, don't you? I believe we're living in the last days of the last days. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Jesus is coming. I believe that we can see that. Friend, now the time has come that they will not endure sound doctrine. The world wants nothing to do with church. And those that are in church want nothing to do with Scripture most of the time. They're not going to endure sound doctrine. He said, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now notice, he told and that Timothy to preach the word, but they're going to heap to themselves teachers, not preachers. Well, I like the teaching preacher. I'll tell you this, preacher ought to teach you something. Yeah. Amen? Preacher ought to teach you something while he's preaching. You ought to be able to learn from my preaching. Some people say the only difference between preaching and teaching is volume. Sometimes that might be the truth. But I'm going to tell you, there is a Holy Spirit anointing, and that happens with teaching too. But friend, there is a difference between preaching and teaching. But he said they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be what? Turn unto fables. That's why he told Timothy to preach the word. It's a book that needs to be preached. Scripture needs to be preached tonight. It don't matter where it's at, wherever God leads, preach on the Scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, listen, that's what gets sinners saved tonight. Listen, you preach this book and tell them that Jesus loves them and what he done for them at Calvary. Listen, it'll work every time. Listen, I believe that God can take just a little bit of Scripture and work in men, women, boys, and girls' lives and save them simply because they heard the Word of God preached, expounded on, and God can take it and do something in their life. Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said, in whom ye also trusted, told about the Lord Jesus Christ, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. What is the gospel this morning or tonight? I'm still stuck on this morning. What is the gospel and why it's the good news? That Jesus came and died and was buried and rose again, ain't it, tonight? Amen. The gospel of the grace of God. Listen, he said, after that you what? Heard the word of truth. There it is, the Scripture. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Boy, listen, Brother Fred this morning on the radio, and he was talking about that. Listen, after you got saved, you got sealed on top of that. Amen. Well, I tell you, it's very important. You know, I wouldn't have known that tonight if Scripture hadn't have told me that. Amen. You remember what one of our missionaries told us tonight, or the other, well, I won't say the other day, maybe about a year ago.
I'm trying to remember which one it was. He was talking about being on the mission field, and they didn't have no Bibles to hand out. And so they were getting the folks saved. But what was happening was, once they got saved, then they were believing that they could lose what they had. Well, why is that? Why would they believe that? Why would they believe that they could lose what they had? Well, they didn't have no scripture to tell them no different. And so, as he said, they were over there recapping them again, you know. I mean, once you get saved, you're saved, friend. I mean, there's going to be days you don't feel saved. There's going to be days that you're in the midst of the battle, friend. But I'm telling you right now, when you got saved, you got saved. That's the end of it. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The day of redemption. Amen. But Scripture tells a man how to get saved. It tells a man that he is saved. And it tells a man that he'll stay saved. Amen. Without works. Right? How did I learn that I didn't have to work for salvation? That book. How did I learn that I just had to come to Him and trust Him? That book. How did I learn that I wasn't doing it by sweat? That book. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, need to preach this book. Romans chapter 1, Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Notice there it is, the power. There must be power in that work in a man, woman, boy, or girl's heart for them to get saved. The Holy Spirit has to come and work, and that by the Word of God tonight. Take your Bible and look with me in the book of Acts chapter 8 tonight. I want to show you something. Acts chapter 8. I think y'all know the story tonight, but let's look over here with it. Acts chapter 8 and look in verse 32. I'm talking about Philip and the eunuch over here. Philip and the eunuch, Acts chapter 8. And now Philip is in Samaria, if I remember right. Well, they're in the middle of revival. And boy, they're having a good time. Folk getting saved, getting right with God. God tells Philip to get up and go down into the desert. In Acts chapter 8, look in verse 32. He's went down into the desert. He's seen and heard this eunuch and that of the Ethiopians, a eunuch of great authority, according to verse 27, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah to the prophet. Now listen, he's went and worshipped. Okay? He's went and worshipped, and here he is, sitting in his chariot, and he's reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a dumb lamb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man?" Look what Philip done, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him what? Jesus. But what did it say right there? He began at the what? At the same scripture. And began to preach unto him Jesus. He just didn't pull the story and that out of Jesus out of thin air. He proved it with scripture. Amen? Without the scripture tonight, I couldn't get saved. 1 Corinthians, Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom's words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is of them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." It works, friend. Preaching the book works. Preaching scripture, and that helps the saints to learn. Listen, it'll bring conviction where it's needed. It'll put a stamp of approval where it's needed. It'll give direction where it's needed when this book is preached. How many times have you ever sat in service and needed direction? And some preacher got up and began to preach, and God began to reveal to you some things out of the scripture that you needed. Done that with me, friend.
don't know if he's ever done that with you, but he's done that with me. He sent a word by every now and again by some preacher that might help me or by some person that might give me and that some strength along the way. It's good to hear, ain't it? But it needs to be preached because there's power in it. Needs to be taught and studied. He said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed on it. That means God breathed on that thing. You wonder why it said over here, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. You know why that word quick means to be alive? You know why this book is alive tonight? It's the only book that's like it. Friend, you can read any other book, any other magazine, any other newspaper, and it will not do for you what this book right here will. Amen. I've never seen a book like this book. Why? It's alive. God breathed into it. Just as sure as God breathed into man the breath of life and made him a living soul. Listen, God inspired this book and it become alive. It quickens. Friend, it is alive. And it'll give life and that to the reader tonight when they come to him. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine. You want the word doctrine means? You ever heard people say, now we're not going to preach the doctrine, then you ain't going to preach much. Amen. Doctrine, that word simply means that which is taught. That's why you can have sound doctrine and you can have false doctrine. I mean, it simply just means that which is taught. So he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine. Hey, it's good to teach and that the Scripture tonight. He said it's probable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. There you go. You want to know how to live holy and live righteous before this present dying world tonight? You want to know how to live righteous before them? This book? I'll deal with that here in just a little bit. He said that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You want to be perfect in him? It takes this book right here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you got to study. Study. You know, one thing that I thought about doing tonight, we didn't do it, but I thought about doing it, is he told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Now, if the Lord don't change my mind, we're going to do some things on some Sunday nights, and maybe Sunday mornings, but on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, we may just read. We may just have some folk come and read. Just read the Scripture. There wouldn't be nothing wrong with that. Do you know that? Wouldn't be a thing wrong with that. He told Timothy to give attendance to what? Reading. What do you think he was reading? Reading Scripture, wasn't he? I mean, he said give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and the doctrine. Now he told him to study in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, he tells him to read. Do you know that sometimes it's just good to read the Bible? Now, I get caught in that study mode. Every time I crack my Bible, I'm looking, as one feller said, for 3 points and a poem. And that's what I'm looking for. Every time. I mean, I'm looking for something to study. I'm looking to get something out of it that I can preach. I mean, I'm just being honest, friend. But you know, it would do us good to just read. Not that you're not studying when you're reading, but I'm just saying that you could sit down and you could commune with God and fellowship with. I'm not saying I couldn't do that while I was studying, but it is a whole different mindset when I can just sit down to read. And so he told Timothy, he said, give attendance to reading. So let me ask you this tonight. How much attendance do we give to reading our Bible? I'm not asking you how much do you study your Bible, where you crack get you a notepad out and get your ink pen out and get ready to write something down. And I would suggest that you do that if you want to know the truth. Have an ink pen and a notepad sitting right there. And if there's a little gold nugget jumps out there at you and you don't want to write over in the margin of your Bible, then you can just write it right over here on that notepad. He said give attendance to reading. He said to exhortation. and to doctrine. There that word is again, to doctrine. It's by His Word that we learn. It's by His Word that we're taught. It's His Word that we study tonight. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 119, I believe it was, in verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. He said, that's what I've hid in my heart. I can't remember who it was. I heard this story probably about 6 months ago. And there was a gentleman that had to have brain surgery. And I believe it was his brother that had to make the decision on that, whether he was to have surgery or not. And the doctor told him, said, now when he comes out of this surgery, he's probably not going to know who you are. And I don't know how long he'll live after he has this surgery. And so they done that surgery on him. And they said when it was all said and done, they said he laid back there in that hospital room and said he didn't know his brother, but said he sat back there, laid back there in that bed and quoted scripture. Just one right after the other. You know why he was able to do that? Because the scripture was hid in his heart. It wasn't in his brain. It was hid in his heart. He said, now preacher, are you sure about that? Hey, I'm going to tell you, when you hide it in your heart, God can do something with it. Hey, listen, we're to study it. We're to learn it. Hey, I'm talking about having the power of God. Now stay with me now. Stay with me. We preach it. We study it and we learn it and we read it. Hey, listen, Acts chapter 17, Paul has left Thessalonica and he's coming to Berea. And the Bible said these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Whatever Paul was preaching, they were cracking the scriptures over here to see if that was so. He went back to the Old Testament a lot, the Apostle Paul did, and pulled out from the Old Testament and preached on it. Isaiah chapter 28, I'm talking about learning now, I'm talking about being taught and studying your Bible. The Bible said here in Isaiah chapter 28, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Until you get off the milk, you don't learn a whole lot, do you? I mean, that's what he talked about in Hebrews chapter 5. For the time when you ought to be teachers, you have one that need teach again, which are the first principles of the oracles of God. He said, he went on to say, and are such who become such have need of milk and not of strong meat, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I'll say it again. When you're a babe, you drink milk. But if all I'd done was drink milk today, I would starve to death. If that's all I had 3 times a day, 4 times a day, I don't know if it's that whole milk, Brother Aaron, it might be pretty good. Ain't that right? If I was drinking 16 gallons a week, I don't know, man. That's an inside joke. Me and Brother Caldwell back there. But you know, if all we had was milk, we'd starve to death. I would. I'd starve to death. Listen, you know it's the same with Scripture. If all you get is milk, you'll starve to death. You know why some churches is drying up and starving to death and famine's coming to church? All the preacher knows is milk. That's all he's going to preach. Now, it's good to sit down and have a glass of milk every now and again, ain't it? I mean, just sit down and have a good cold glass of milk and sit down and drink it and go on. Listen, I love to hear how Jesus loved me and died for me and saved me, friend, and all those simple things. And you say, are they simple? Listen, they're simple to understand and simple to learn, but boy, were they not great in what He done. Amen. I don't want to make light of what He done by no means by calling it simple. But there are deeper things in that for us to learn. I think we need to hang around the cross, but there's some things that we do need to understand and learn beyond the cross. There is a way that we are to live and a way that we are to act.
And can I tell you, that's what the Word of God, when it begins to work in our life, as we read it and as we study it and as we hear it preached, whether it's from the pulpit or on the radio, on TV that's good, or however you get it, friend, when it's preached to you, talked to you, read, listen, then it is the Word of God that we hide in our heart, and then it begins to work and the power of it begins to move in our life. What's made a change in your life? I know Christ has when you got saved. Boy, He made a difference on the inside. But what causes you to live the way that you do? What gave you the power? What, first of all, let me say this. What made you decide to give up some things that you gave up? Somehow you figured out you didn't need to be doing what you were doing. How'd you figure that out? Guarantee it's by the Word of God. Why did you start doing some things that you were not doing that needed to be done? Was by the Word of God, wasn't it? Let me put my glasses back on. It's the Word of God, wasn't it? Amen. I wasn't getting no amens there. Y'all just a blurry mess when I take them off, friend. Listen, it's the Word of God that works in our life. Listen, it's what breaks our heart and brings judgment in our life. But it is also the Word of God that keeps us going, and that in serving Christ. Jeremiah chapter 23, he said, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces." It's His word that does the work on the inside and breaks hearts and brings judgment, that fire in that, to our life. But then Jeremiah said in chapter 20, boy, I'm telling you, after he was in derision and all those things, he said, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." Jeremiah said, "I'm done. Quitting. It's over with." Jeremiah said, "I will not speak anymore in his name." But he said, "But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." He said, "I had to tell you what I knew." He said, "I had to. There just wasn't nothing." Right, I'm going to tell you, if preachers got any preaching in him, it'll come out of him every now and again. I'm going to tell you, if there's any salvation in you, it'll come out of you every now and again. It'll show up. Boy, I mean, you just, I don't misunderstand the term that I'm about to use right here, but sometimes it'll just beat you can't help yourself. Amen. I think you ought to testify when you can help yourself. But I'm telling you, they just come sometimes, and God just flips your cup up, right? And I mean, it overflows, and you just can't help yourself sometimes. Sneaks out on you, don't it? Got to testify every now and again. But Jeremiah said, boy, it's like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I made the decision I wasn't going to serve him. I made the decision I wasn't going to say nothing about him. But listen, something on the inside was different. Something on the inside had to come out of me. That's what Jeremiah's saying. What was it? Well, it was the Word of God, wasn't it? He had put it in there. Well, then let me say this, that it is the Word of God that allows us to do those extraordinary things that there is no way that we could have done on our own in our Christian life. You know, he said in Ephesians chapter 6, he said that to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There is no way that we could have made it through the battles that we've made it through without Scripture to be able to fight. How was it that Jesus defeated Satan in Matthew chapter 4? The Word of God. Listen, I think if, maybe you don't think this way, but I do. But I think if Jesus used the Word of God to defeat Satan, I reckon we could too, don't you? I think we could. I mean, it's the Word of God that gives you power and boldness in that to stand when nobody else is standing with you. Amen. I mean, it's the Word of God where He said He'd never leave us or forsake us. And when the Apostle Paul, and that stood by himself over there with the mouth of the lion against him, I listened, but God stood in. Hey, when we read that and we understand that, we know that God will stay with us and allow us to do extraordinary things. It's the Word of God that we've hid in our heart. Listen, it's by the Word of God that we live and let others see it in our life. 1 Peter chapter 3, as he's talking to wives over here, he said, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands,
that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. He said, listen. He said, if your husband is not right with God, whether he's lost or whether he is just not right, that he's not living for me, that he can look at your life and see the Word of God in it making a difference. I just don't think I'm going to do this justice tonight about what kind of power is in this book. For men to preach it, folk to believe it, and it'd save the vilest sinner that there's ever been. For men and women to take this book and read it and believe it and trust what it has to say and put it into action and then see a change in their family. Then see a change in their husband or in their wife or in their children. I mean, it'll change everything. Hey, listen, I'm telling you tonight, listen, if we would just take it and use it just like God said to read it and study it and apply it and put it in our life, there's no telling what might happen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 19, the scripture said, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Hey, can I tell you this? When the world is done and it's on fire and it's burning down, Book of Peter said that it's going to melt with fervent heat. He said the heavens and the earth is going to be on fire and melt with fervent heat. Can I tell you tonight that, listen, when it's all said and done and everything's burning up, listen, that you know the Word of God's still going to be around.
Amen.
It's still going to be left. I mean, you can't get shed of it. You can't get rid of it tonight. Listen, it's going to be here. I'm trying to find it here. But listen, he tells us over in the book of Matthew chapter 5, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass, one jot or one tittle shall not in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Ain't that something tonight? Listen, I'm going to tell you, the Word of God will be around and it'll be alive. It'll be alive, man, when nothing else is. The Scripture will be alive. You may not care about this book tonight, but I'm going to tell you, it'll make all the difference. It's got power in it. It's got power. You know what will make a difference in your Sunday school classes? Ladies and gentlemen, listen, this book, I believe it's taught. I do. You know what will make a difference in this church? This book right here. Let me ask you something tonight as I get ready to close. Listen, why do you think our nation is in the shape that it's in? They've took it away, ain't they? Took it out of school. Don't want to have nothing to do. I remember when I went to school, Mr. Buck was our Bible teacher. I don't even know if that man's still alive or not. I mean, I was just probably in the fifth and sixth grade. I don't remember if we had the seventh grade, but it seems like I remember having it in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. Mr. Buck would come on his own time and come and teach us the Bible. They'd give him about an hour with us once a week or so. I can't even remember now, but he would teach us the Bible. Now, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I grew up in church. I mean, we went to Sunday school. We went to preaching. Man, we had what was called training union. In other words, that was Sunday school at night time. And man, I hated that stuff. Man, you dragging a 10-year-old boy. I'm telling you, just hated it. And had preaching. And had Wednesday night prayer meeting. But you know what? For some of them people that I went to school with, I dare say that was some of the only Bible that they ever got. And I'd hope that it made a difference in their life. You know why Africa was called the dark continent? Had nothing to do with their skin color. But it had everything to do with there was no light there. And all darkness is the absence of light. I believe we was talking about that yesterday. As a matter of fact, if you actually look that up in the dictionary, in Webster's 1828, it is being destitute of light. And that's what darkness is.
Listen, our nation is in darkness tonight simply because there's no Scripture in it. What was it that he talked about, that there was going to be a famine in the land, but not that of bread, but that of hearing of the Word of God? Is that not where we're at tonight? He said, "Preacher, we're church to death." Listen, that has nothing to do with knowing the right Scripture and having the right book in front of you. That don't mean Scripture is getting taught. I don't know how it is. Today, I can remember when I would go preach at some churches a long time ago. And they'd want me to come and preach, and maybe they didn't have a pastor. And I'm going to be honest with you, some Sunday school classes was good, and some was not. And my wife would come out of the ladies' Sunday school classes, and she'd say, "Some of them are good, and some of them are not." Friend, tonight he said that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you want to have power with God in your life, in your home? If his church ever hopes to have power with God, it's going to be through this book right here. It's going to be in Scripture. Let's bow our head tonight, if we would, across the house. Brother Jeff, if we would, let's come get a verse of invitation tonight. How important is the Word of God to you tonight? If it's important, I believe you'd read it. I believe you'd study it. I believe you'd heed it tonight while it's preached. God showed you some things out of Scripture that you need to be doing that you're not doing tonight. Maybe you need to come. Maybe you're doing some things tonight that He's told you you don't need to be doing. Showed you in Scripture that you don't need to be doing those things. I always hated that Scripture in the book of James. "Him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin." I always hated that. Man, when I was smoking and somebody would put that Scripture, I hated that. Why? Because I knew that book was right. If we hope to have power with God, it's going to take cracking that book open. It's going to take reading it, but it's going to take applying it to our heart tonight. How much do we love the Word of God? Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We love you and we thank you for helping us. We certainly needed your help. Lord, I pray tonight that some folk got some direction in their life. And Lord, as the invitation is given tonight, if some folk need to come, I pray they would. And if somebody needs to come and get saved, I pray they'd come and get saved tonight. You just deal with their heart. Lord, just show them what they need to do and that they would move. Lord, I just pray that you'd help now. We thank you so much for what you've done for us at Calvary. But Lord, let's take your book serious tonight. Lord, just not something that sits on our coffee table. But Lord, it's a book that we read. And proud to have it tonight. But Lord, that we would take it and heed it. Would you help during this invitation for these things in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. Stand to our feet tonight, church, if we would.